Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now that You would send Your Holy Spirit upon us, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear of Your powerful grace and how You have saved us and have caused us to pass through judgment and not be destroyed, but be saved and blessed. And may this day, may this time we have together in Your Word, may it comfort us all, and may it also comfort Thomas and Michaela as they seek to raise Cain. And for all the parents to be reminded that the salvation of our children never depends on us, but it is wholly of Your good work. And we thank You, O Lord, that that is a burden we do not have to bear, and in fact we never could. And so we come to You, and we thank You, O Lord, and may You open our eyes to see the glories of Your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And we'll begin reading at verse 5 and continue reading through verse 8, and then we'll jump ahead to chapter 7 at verse 7. Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, hear now the word of our God. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then jump ahead to chapter 7 at verse 7. So Noah and his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean animals and animals that are unclean, of birds and of everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two they went into the ark with Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's son, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark of Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those who entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And every man all in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things that were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we have had the privilege of witnessing the baptism of Cade, and in light of that, we are now going to consider an event in redemptive history that most of us know quite well, I'm sure. For this event of God saving Noah and his family through the worldwide flood is a type or shadow of what Christ would do for us. And it's also pictured for us in the sacrament of baptism. Remember, this reality was spoken of in the prayer, in the Forms and Prayers book that we went through, and you may be wondering where that idea comes from. And well, it comes from the Bible, as you should rightly assume. And it comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 through 20 and 21, which says, "When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Peter here is explaining that the worldwide flood in the days of Noah and God preserving Noah and his family in the ark is a picture, a foreshadowing of what Christ would do for us, and specifically what Christ would do for us as pictured also in baptism. And so I hope that we are following all that. We have two pictures. We have the picture of the flood and Noah that we'll be looking at, but also we see how that picture is very much related to the picture we have in baptism. And both of those pictures point us to what Christ has done for us in his death and resurrection. And we see here, between these two pictures that point us to the salvation provided us in Christ, that there is a critical point at which Noah's flood and baptism are connected. They are pointing us to the very same reality of the salvation provided us in Christ. Now, what would that critical point be? Normally, when we think of water, especially in the Bible, we think of life, and we also think of cleansing. And both of those are true, and the symbolism is used throughout the Bible in that way. We also see it with the flood. God washed away all the sin and filth of the world at that time. Baptism also symbolizes the washing away of our sins by the blood of Christ. That is part of what Peter is getting at in this passage, but there is actually another idea that's being carried along with it. When we think of a flood, and especially the flood in Noah's day, what word comes to our minds? Play a little Jeopardy now if we want. What's the answer? What is the answer? What word should come to our minds when we think of Noah's flood? Do, 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 do. right? Judgment is the right answer. God sent the flood in Noah's day for judgment. Judgment against sin and wickedness. And the question we must have as we look at the beginning of Noah's story is, how can one survive the judgment of God? How can one pass through God's judgment against their own sin and not be destroyed? And instead pass through the judgment of God and not be destroyed, but instead be blessed. Well, God gives us a picture in the story of Noah of how that's possible. And we're told in a very important detail in chapter 6, verse 8. God gave Noah what? Grace. It is only by the grace of God that one could pass through judgment and not be destroyed, but receive blessing. God gave Noah grace. And as we look at the flood narrative, we see that it's God's grace from beginning to end. Yes, Noah did build the ark, but who really built the ark? God gave him all the plans, provided all the lumber, all the wood, all the trees, everything, right? All of that was God's provision. And who upheld the ark in the greatest storm this world has ever seen? And who shut the door of the ark and hemmed in Noah, his family, and all the living creatures inside? It was the Lord. God did it all. But now I want us to ask a question. What is an ark? Why doesn't, children, why doesn't God say that Noah built a great ship? Why does the Bible use the word ark? Well, the word ark, if we just look at its normal meaning in Hebrew, isn't a super special word, we wouldn't think. It just means a box or a vessel that carries things, sometimes even used as a casket. And you might wonder, well, what's so special about that? Well, the symbolism of a box or a vessel is what? Well, think about what they do. Well, they carry things. They can even protect things. And in the scriptures, the ark, that word, is used as an instrument of preservation and rescue. Preservation and rescue. And you can see the relationship there, that the ark is an instrument whereby God preserved and rescued Noah and his family. It's also significant that the piece of furniture of greatest significance in the tabernacle and in the temple is called what? The Ark of the Covenant. It was a piece of furniture that God was using to communicate to his people that they would be preserved through judgment and rescued from judgment by his covenant grace. For what was on top of that Ark of the Covenant? The mercy seat. The place where propitiation was made. That's a big biblical word, but it simply means that God's just wrath against our sin was paid for. And that now we can enter into His presence and receive blessing. And so what we have as we look at the flood narrative is two really important ideas. First, that God's judgment against our sin is coming. And second, that God will provide a way, an ark, that will preserve us and rescue us from that judgment. And so we have to ask then, to whom does the ark of Noah point us to? Who is the one that preserves us and will safely land us on the other side of judgment? And it, of course, is the answer that every child gives to the Sunday school questions, right? It is our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by Him that we pass through the waters of divine judgment and we are preserved, rescued, and more than that, blessed forever. For by His death, all our sin, our sinful selves, and the curse of sin, which is death, is put to death. It's taken away from us. And by His resurrection, we are carried through to eternal life. The picture of this is clear here in the flood story, but it's also clear in the Red Sea crossing. The Israelites crossed through the waters of the Red Sea on dry ground. God's judgment did not touch them. They didn't even get wet feet. And yet, the Egyptians were drowned and destroyed. How is that possible? What is the difference between the Israelites and the Egyptians? Why was one group of people able to pass through the waters of judgment and one were not? And the answer is again, Jesus. For it is He who was with the Israelites in that pillar of cloud and fire. Certainly the idea of passing through judgment safely is in view in what the Lord says to Israel through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3a. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. The first time judgment came with a flood. The second time, it shall come with fire. But the judgment of God shall not touch us nor harm us. In fact, we shall pass through judgment and be unscathed and will only receive blessing, for Christ is our ark. He is our rescuer and our preserver. Judgment day is coming, but for those who place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, that day is not a day of fear or of dread, but of the utmost joy. For we know that just as Noah and his family landed safely on the mountains of Ararat, so we know that Christ shall lead us safely through and land us safely on the heavenly Mount Zion. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are our God. And we are so thankful that you are the God of all grace. And we praise you and worship you this day. For all, Lord, left to ourselves, we would all be destroyed by your just judgment. And yet, O Lord, we know with absolute confidence that as we come to you in faith, we know that we shall pass through your judgment and not be harmed in the slightest way, but instead only receive blessing because we have died with Christ and we have been raised with him. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, for being our ark, for being our sustainer, our preserver, and our rescuer, the one who has saved us from all of our sin and all of its misery, and have given us new and eternal life. We praise you, Holy Spirit, that you have united us to Christ, and that you have given us saving faith and give to us all the blessings that Christ has earned for us by his sacrificial death and glorious resurrection. And we pray this day, O Lord, that it would be in our hearts and in our minds and with our mouths and with all that we are, that we would seek to worship you and glorify you for the great things that you, our triune God, have done. O Lord, you have called us by name. You, the God of all the universe, have called us by name to yourself. We heard that today. You called Cade to yourself. O Lord, we pray that each one of us would walk nearer and closer to you, and that we would be preserved by your grace throughout all of these days we have on this planet. And we look forward to Judgment Day, Lord, because we trust in the surety of your promises. We pray all these things in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.